Proverbs 1, begin to read at verse 20. This is God's word. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery? And fools hate knowledge. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Are you listening to me? Said the teacher to a classroom full of teenagers who had exams in just 4 weeks' time. Study and revision was the last thing on their mind, yet the teacher knew the importance of making the most of the next 1 hour lesson, but the pupils seemed set on wasting their lives. Are you listening to me? Said the doctor to the patient, whose health was deteriorating, the blood sugar levels were going up, and the patient had been warned year on year that lifestyle changes needed to be made. The doctor could hardly bring himself to bringing out the list of foods that count of one of the five a day. Apparently, cream cakes aren't on that list. And also the NHS guidelines for daily exercise. This patient seemed to be bent on self-destruction. Are you listening to me? Said the parent to their child, who was still bouncing on their bed. Well, after bedtime, the parent knew that late to bed meant grumpy in the morning, and their child probably would be grumpy as well. Now, we could go on. Many examples of an important message that someone desperately wants to communicate, but that person simply is not listening. In the passage that we read, that's the big question, if you like. Are you listening to me? Who is raising that question? Well, it's wisdom. In these verses, it's as if wisdom has become a person. And so wisdom, she is crying out. Who is she speaking to? Well, everybody. Everybody needs to hear her voice. You and me, we all need to listen regardless of who we are. Now, first observation, wisdom is loud. Wisdom is loud. In the ESV study Bible, in the study notes, it speaks about the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Now, there is a huge overlap between the two concepts, but the ESV study Bible makes this distinction. Knowledge is correctly understanding the world. Wisdom is rightly applying that knowledge. So knowledge is right understanding. Wisdom is right living. The application of it. So in these verses, we notice that wisdom is loud. I'm sure we've all met people, I certainly have, that like to be heard, which is okay. But often people who like to be heard often don't have anything worthwhile to listen to. But that is not the case with wisdom. Notice verse 20. So verse 20, wisdom calls aloud. Also verse 20, she raises her voice. Verse 21, she cries out. She makes her speech. So wisdom is not in some corner speaking with a quiet voice. You have to strain to hear. No, she's crying aloud. She's raising her voice. She's making her speech very audible. Volume turned right up. Now, I spent some time musing on these verses, thinking, what does this mean? How is wisdom doing that? How is wisdom crying out? Notice in verse 7 of this opening chapter of Proverbs that we see that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So wisdom and knowledge is to do with fearing the Lord, which is recognizing who he is and recognizing who we are. So how is wisdom shouting that message out to the world? Now, there are two key passages in the Bible that support this that we will know very well. One is Psalm 19 that says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands." And then also Romans 1. Romans 1 tells us again very clearly that God's invisible qualities and attributes are clearly put on display through what he has made. Another place in the Bible that carries a similar thought is God's interactions with Job. So you'll know the story. Job suffered immensely. And right through the book, he is bringing his complaint to God. And he was right in what he said, although Job, it would seem, on some occasions gets very close to the line. And he's speaking to God, demanding an audience with God. He wants to be able to bring his case to God. And what does God do? God speaks to him. And what does God say? Does he say, "Let me give you the theological reason why you have suffered. Let me give you a booklet on suffering"? No, not at all. What God does is says, "Job, look at my power as seen in creation and compare that to your own. Look at my wisdom seen in creation and compare that with your own. So where were you when I did these amazing things? Have you been and seen where the storehouses for the snow is?" And what happens at the end? Job has considered God's power and wisdom in creation, and the result is Job has no more questions. He is truly humbled. He just humbly just surrenders all to God. And so these verses, wisdom is calling aloud, could quite well be pointing to everything that's being created and how wisdom is crying out, showing us the power and the wisdom of God and the necessity for us to take our proper place in that, which is bowing before him in total surrender and total worship. But I think these verses say more than that, because did you notice how specific they are? So it doesn't just say wisdom is crying aloud in creation, but very specifically we are given some locations. This is really what made me scratch my head. So wisdom is calling aloud in the street. She's raising her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. So I'm reading these verses and I'm thinking, how is wisdom doing that? And if you're scratching your head for long enough, you read a commentary, and they normally never give the answer you want, which they didn't. They just sort of skipped over the verses. And so we have to think, how is it that in commerce, so in the marketplaces, and at the city gates, so where there is governance, how is it that wisdom is speaking? So when Solomon was writing, just reference to the city gates were where the elders met. And the elders met there and decisions were made. Judgments were passed. So how is it that wisdom is communicated within business transactions and also at the city gates? Well, I think perhaps where there's business dealings, there is goods, there is creativity. We have been made to be creative in the image of God. Where there is business dealings, there is right and wrong, there are transactions. In judgments pronounced at the city gate, there is justice. Crime is punished. Civil responsibilities are demanded. There is retribution. And without God, there is simply no basis for these things. Morality depends on God. Creativity is part of who we are because we are made in the image of God. Romans teaches us that all governance is established, all authority is established by God. And in all these things, wisdom is shouting out that there is a God who is the foundation of it all. In many of the hot potato issues of our day, which we see so often in the media, wisdom is screaming out to man, even in the natural world. All we need to do is take a cursory glance at what God has made, and society would soon learn that our departure from these things, which are ingrained in nature, is total folly. So when Solomon was writing these words, wisdom was crying out in commerce, in governance, and also in the Old Testament scriptures, because those were the standards that were followed at the city gates. Now, you might be thinking, I thought your first point, Michael, was the fact that wisdom is loud. Because surely, to figure out those things about God, you have to be a bit of a detective. It doesn't seem too loud to me. It seems like the volume is maybe set at 20 rather than 100. But this is God's word, and Proverbs tells us that wisdom is communicating loudly. So if we don't get that, it's not wisdom's problem, it perhaps is our problem. My dad's mum passed away about 4 years ago, so my grandma. I had the privilege of speaking at her funeral. And before she passed away, she died in her 90s. She had glaucoma, so she could hardly see. And she was also very, very, very hard of hearing. She was almost deaf. She lived with my auntie for the closing years of her life, Auntie Grace. And when we went to visit Grandma, if Auntie Grace was there, it was all good. Because somehow my grandma's brain, perhaps out of necessity, had taught her ears to tune into the exact pitch of Auntie Grace's voice. So when Auntie Grace spoke, she could hear. When anyone else spoke, she had no clue what they were saying. So if Auntie Grace left the room, you had to get really close and be like, it's Michael, top of your voice. On one occasion, she was in hospital, and my sister and I went to visit her, and me being, you know, a good, brave brother, sent my sister in first to try and get the introduction out of the way. And let's just say, everybody in the hospital knew our names before Grandma did. Everyone. In fact, I think the whole of Preston did. Now, there was nothing wrong with our communication, but for Grandma, she's probably thinking, young people nowadays, nobody teaches them to speak up anymore, do they? Wisdom is calling aloud in the marketplaces, in the governance system, in the streets. But more than that, see, we don't live when Solomon lived and was writing, do we? We live thousands of years later. And wisdom is communicating even louder in the complete Bible. But even more than that, in Jesus. Advent reference. John writes about Jesus. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. What can be a louder communication from God than a person? There is nothing abstract about a person, is there? Jesus understood the world perfectly because he made it and sustains it, and he lived out that knowledge. He applied it perfectly every time. Now, we live in this world, and because of sin, sometimes there are grey areas, aren't there? Do you know what I mean? Have you ever been in a situation where it seems whatever decision you make, it's wrong? You ever been in that situation? So it seems like there is no right way forward, but I've got to do something about this mess. And you're left praying and scratching your head and thinking, what is the right thing to do in this situation? Jesus never had that problem. He always knew the right thing to say, the right thing to do, the right way to act. He was also always that perfect balance of truth and grace all at the same time. Jesus always put God's wisdom on display. So if wisdom cries aloud at the gates, in Jesus, wisdom is screaming at the top of her lungs. We can't miss this. Wisdom is loud. We must realize that if we don't, it's because we have a problem with the hardness of our heart. Second observation, wisdom must not be ignored. Wisdom must not be ignored. Wisdom is a fantastic ally, but she makes a terrible adversary. Look at verse 26. We could look at many different verses in the passage that we read, but verse 26, and we'll move into verse 27 as well. I, in turn, will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when disaster and trouble overwhelm you. Warren Wiersbe writes these words: "The greatest tragedy is that there's so much noise that people can't hear the things that they really need to hear." Let me read that again. "The greatest tragedy is that there's so much noise that people can't hear the things they really need to hear." We are so diverted, aren't we? In our society, there is so much entertainment. There is so much to do. We very rarely stop and listen. Now, even for the majority of us who are believers tonight, we might cram in our brief bit of Bible time in the morning so we stop and listen to wisdom. But if we are not careful and on our guard, because the rest of our day and the rest of our lives, we will be quite literally assaulted with noise. If we are not careful, that wisdom that we have listened to and thought on will simply be squashed out. And what Proverbs is teaching us, in this section anyway, is that when we ignore wisdom, and to ignore wisdom is simply to listen to another voice, that's also ignoring wisdom, listening to something else, that is a terrible thing. We could go back to our opening three examples of a teacher and a doctor and a parent. When a teacher speaks, when the pupils ignore that, there will be repercussions. When the doctor speaks, if a patient ignores that, that will have a negative impact on a person's health. When a parent speaks, if the child ignores that, again, their well-being will suffer. But those things are just minuscule in comparison to ignoring the wisdom that comes from God. See, God wants us to know how to flourish in his world. He wants us to know how to live properly, to apply knowledge well, and that only comes through heeding wisdom's voice. When wisdom is ignored, we put ourselves on a course that leads to disaster. Now, sometimes we may ignore wisdom, and we might think there is no serious implications. It doesn't appear to have an impact. On other occasions, the result will be instant disaster. But every time we ignore the wisdom of God, it's a bit like we've taken a little seed and planted it in our lives, which will take root and bring weeds in our lives. See, each and every one of us, whether we realize it or not, we are all harvesters. We are all harvesting what we have sown in previous days, weeks, and months, and years. What we sow, we reap. Notice the certainty that Solomon has when he writes this passage. So just look back down in the area, verse 24 onwards. We see that Solomon is utterly certain that if we ignore wisdom, the certainty of the calamity is just, it's just a given. So we see things like, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Solomon doesn't say if, when. To ignore wisdom's loud cry means calamity, disaster, distress, being overtaken, swept away, and being overwhelmed. And notice, also in verse 28, that through ignoring wisdom, not only do those things happen, but wisdom also becomes elusive. Verse 28, "Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me." I mean, again, echoed in Romans 1 by Paul, when he talks about people suppressing the truth. As wisdom is suppressed, if we wish her silent, she will become silent. And we can go through the Bible, can't we? Many times, seen many illustrations and examples of people who did exactly that, ignored the voice of God. Pharaoh springs to mind, hardened his heart. God hardened his heart. He was totally obliterated. Or King Saul went on his own way. God rejected him. Judas. He was surrounded by people who loved Jesus. He was in the company of Jesus for 3 years. And yet, I mean, we see glimpses of his folly early on before when he betrays Jesus. We see his folly in rebuking Mary for the sacrifice she made to Jesus when she broke that expensive perfume. But ultimately, we see the choices he made ultimately leading to that act of betrayal. Now, let's get a bit personal. I wonder if there are any areas in your life tonight where you are ignoring wisdom's voice. Wisdom speaks to us in numerous of ways. In the Bible, through a sermon, through friends, through siblings, through parents. The Holy Spirit can use any of those things, ways, to get our attention, to just poke an area in our life, an area of our heart that we are hardened or just withholding from the Lord. I wonder tonight, are you ignoring wisdom's voice? Because if you are, be under no illusion that as we ignore her voice, we are sowing for disaster. Certain. I wonder if you realize that. The clearest example showing us the horror of ignoring wisdom is looking at the life of Jesus. Now you might say, what do you mean? Jesus was complete wisdom. He was. He always obeyed his Father. But do you remember the substitution that took place on the cross? See, on the cross, he took the blame for my and your not listening to wisdom. So let me use this illustration. Wisdom is shouting out, walk this way, come this way, the life of blessing and life. But then folly, and we know Satan is behind it, says, don't go that way. That way is pretty dull and boring. Come this way. Come this way where we have nice flashing lights and tinsel and everything looks amazing. And so off we run because we think that way looks a bit dull. This way looks exciting. Doesn't cost me anything, it would seem. It's just better than all that stuff. And so we start running down this path. But before long, the blue tack loses its stickiness and the tinsel falls down and the batteries go flat and the lights go off and we see that we are actually on a path of destruction, but yet there's folly a bit further down the path, shouting, no, you need to come further in, keep coming, keep coming. But as we go down that path, ultimately we are going to destruction. Now, what does that destruction look like? Well, do you remember what happened when Jesus was on the cross? Because he took our folly and our shame and our sin. On the cross, it went black, the sky, and Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Son couldn't hear the Father anymore. Look at verses 28 and 29. Then they will call to me, but what I will not answer. See, Jesus was taking that verse for people who do not follow wisdom. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. If you want to know how bad wisdom is, look at what Jesus suffered on the cross, because that is the consequence of ignoring wisdom's voice. Final observation. So far we've seen wisdom is loud, wisdom must not be ignored. Final observation, listening to wisdom has great benefits. I just want to show two verses from this passage that are incredible verses that are just filled to the brim with grace. They're incredible. Verse 23, these are just amazing. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. The ESV puts it like this. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Isn't that a grace-saturated verse? I'm sure we would all agree that the world needs more wise people. Not necessarily those who are wise in the world's eyes, well, not that sort of wise people at all, but people who understand God, understand themselves, understand God's world, know how to apply all that knowledge in how they deal with people and everyday situations. And the promise in this passage is this: whoever you are, if you hear wisdom's voice and heed what she has to say, then she will make her words known to you. Go to the New Testament and find a verse in the book of James that speaks about how God gives wisdom to those who ask. Like I say, we're not talking about intelligence here, because you can know everything there is to know about the Bible. You might know every reference there is and every systematic theology of every different doctrine in the entire Bible, but unless that is applied to your life, it counts for nothing. Jesus, very famously, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, gave an illustration of two builders. One was a foolish builder, one was a wise builder. What was the difference between those two people in his illustration? Well, one built on sand, one built on the rock, but the difference is one listened and put into practice, one listened and did nothing. So it's not just enough knowing this stuff, just hearing it, it's putting it into practice. And this verse is just so grace-filled, because God longs to pour out his Spirit on people who will listen and obey, even though we are not people who deserve that. Now, it takes a certain sort of person to do that, to listen. I found verse 22 a bit of a shock, following on from wisdom crying aloud in the street. And then verse 22 says this: how long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Now, the Bible is very clear. Without God's wisdom, we are simple, mocking fools. The world thinks that the solution to man's problem, or problems, because they are legion, is that maybe some party will come up with some policies. Other people think that the solution to man's problem is a certain drug that we can invent that's going to cure us of everything. Other people think, everyone agrees on this, that technology is the solution to all our problems. So in other words, what everyone is saying is we can come up with the answer, the solution we can find in here. We are the ones that can save ourselves. And in complete contrast to that, verse 22 of Proverbs is very clear that the solution is not going to be in us, because we are simple ones, we are mockers. We hate knowledge. The solution is not found in us. The solution is found in God and what he has to say and what he has achieved. Now, it takes a certain sort of person who will benefit from wisdom. The sort of person is a humble person who is glad to admit that they have failings, inconsistencies, weaknesses, and sin. If we are not willing to do that, if we are not willing to humble ourselves, then we will not listen to wisdom, because we think we can sort it all out ourselves. Now, one of the things that I find fascinating about this passage is that the humble person listens to wisdom and cries out to wisdom for help on the good days as well as the bad. Where do I get that from? Well, do you notice when we see how elusive in verse 22 wisdom is? Notice how at this point they are calling out. So these foolish, simple, arrogant people in the day of distress and disaster want to call out, but now they're getting no answer. I wonder at times if sometimes we behave like atheists. We only cry out to God when our back's against the wall. What this passage is showing us is people who will listen to wisdom are going to do that on good days as well as bad days, because we recognize we are ill-equipped without him to face even the most regular of days. There is another verse that is filled with grace, verse 33. Well, it all is filled with grace, but especially filled. Verse 33, but whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Now, of course, we need to understand that this was written in the Old Covenant, and there are certain promises that God gave to Moses about obeying the Mosaic Covenant that led to physical blessing. But this verse certainly points to our eternal hope. We can live in safety without fear of disaster, because the worst thing that can possibly happen to any one of us is death itself. But now that no longer has any sting to those who listen to wisdom. Now, of course, this is just a different way of saying repentance and faith. Coming to God in faith, repenting and following him. But it comes down to one thing. One thing. Are you listening to me? So are you listening, said the teacher to a classroom full of teenagers. Are you listening, said the doctor to a patient whose health was deteriorating. Are you listening, said a parent to their child. All those things are minuscule, tiny, in comparison to this. God is crying out. He's crying out through the world, through the Bible, in Jesus. He's saying, this is the way to go. Take my hand, follow me. To ignore him leads to calamity. To heed him leads to eternal blessing. And so he asks us today, are you listening to me? Let's bow our heads and pray before we sing together our final hymn. Father, we all, I'm sure, would readily admit tonight that there are times when we've not feared you, we've not listened to you, but we've gone our own way. Father, forgive us. For some of us, we are reaping what we have sown in days and months and years gone past. And life is hard. But Father, thank you that today, with your help, we can resolve to listen to your voice as we hear it in the Bible by your Spirit. We can resolve to say no to folly, to say no to self, say no to Satan, and daily follow you. Father, help us to be wise. Help us to be those who realize that we need help every moment of every day, and the days when we feel secure and safe are actually probably the days that we are most vulnerable and would most easily be tempted. Please help us, come to our aid, do a supernatural work of grace in our hearts, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.